Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise God. There's a card here which says Lectern Fire Evacuation Card. Nobody's going out while I'm preaching. Praise God. In the prophecy of Isaiah, we read this: as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it blood and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The book that I've been speaking to you about for months is finally here. Hallelujah. And I'll be talking to you a little bit more about that later. The Lord's Orchard, God's Charter for Reformation. I've written over 50 books, and there are millions of copies of those books in print. But somehow this is, for me, the most awesome of these books that I've had to write. I believe it'll be as significant, if not more significant, than many of the others that have had tremendous sale over the years. And the reason for that is that I really believe the Lord commissioned this book. Now, I've never written a book unless I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to write it. I never have written one just for the sake of doing so. But when he began to speak to me about what this book was to accomplish and how he wanted to use it, it was actually so awesome that it was months before I could finally put my pen to paper. During those months, there was a lot of prayer and a lot of preparation, a lot of doing background material with the Word of God. But it seemed to me such an awesome responsibility to actually write this Charter for Reformation. Now, to understand why God wants this book and what he wants to accomplish, not just through this, of course, but through the whole movement of Reformation that I believe he's going to bring about in the church, I need to talk to you about heaven. Now, that might seem a strange place to start when we're talking about what God wants to do to reform his church worldwide. We often think of the physical creation. I was preaching to you a little while ago about the light and how the whole of the physical creation came into being because God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And all the whole process of creation that is still going on, the universe is still expanding at an amazing rate because God has never revoked that word. It's still going on. Planets and all the rest of it, galaxies are still being formed. But quite apart from that physical creation, that which is visible, God has brought into being a spiritual creation. Now, actually, the spiritual existed before the physical. That is because God is spirit. And therefore, he brought into being this physical creation. This spiritual creation. And then the physical. It wasn't that the physical existed before the spiritual. Now, we don't know a lot of detail about what this spiritual creation is like. Most of our information comes from the book of Revelation, the last book in the New Testament. But as there's a whole lot of imagery in this book, and much of that imagery is very difficult for us to interpret, it's very difficult for us to know exactly what this spiritual creation is like. We will only really be able to know it when we experience it. All we can know now is something of a foretaste of that. And that is God's intention for his children, for those who belong to him, those who have been born again, those who are part of his church, those who are part of the Lord's orchard, according to that vision that I shared with you over the last months about the nature of the church and how God wants to make the whole of this orchard much more fruitful and effective than it is at present. What we do know is that in this spiritual realm, the heavenlies, the scripture calls it, most people think of heaven, but in biblical thinking, there are the heavenlies. There are several, if you like, degrees of heaven. And you know that one of the ways in which Jesus was greeted when he was acknowledged as the Messiah and King, as he entered Jerusalem just before the crucifixion, people cried out, "Glory to God in the highest." And that is because God exists in the highest heaven, in the highest part of heaven. That is his throne room. We know, of course, from the scriptures that there are various spiritual beings in this spiritual creation. There are the creatures which seem very strange, but of course you must understand that a lot of that imagery is very significant. It's just pointing to certain truths about God and about his word and about his purposes. But they are the nearest to the throne, together with the elders. And then you see the whole heavenly host of angels, and of course all the saints of God. That is not those who have been recognized by Rome or any other church, but all those that have been born again and who have faithfully loved and served the Lord, and through his mercy and grace are to reign with him in this spiritual realm for all eternity. Now, of course, when Jesus became man, he was the only one who has ever entered into the physical creation from the spiritual creation. Angels, and we hear of in the New Testament, that they appeared and did various things at various times within creation, but no person had entered as a human being into the physical creation. So Jesus affirms again and again and again that he was sent. He was sent from heaven into this physical creation. He was sent to the earth. And we know, of course, that he had a particular purpose. Now, in this spiritual creation, God reigns. It's where his authority is acknowledged by all who belong to that spiritual order. Every spiritual being in heaven praises and acknowledges and glorifies him as the King of heaven, as the Lord of glory. The devil was, of course, originally Lucifer, one of the chief angels who was leading the worship in heaven, until he got the idea that he would desire to be worshipped as God was worshipped. And of course, as soon as that happened, was no longer glorifying the Lord, and there can be nothing in this spiritual realm, in the heavenlies, that does not glorify God and does not glorify his Son, Jesus Christ. So immediately Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Now, you must understand, therefore, that Jesus was in heaven, in spiritual form, not in a human form, but he was in spiritual form in heaven when he saw this angel thrown out of heaven together with a third of the angels that followed him in his rebellion. Now, he was given leave to go to and fro over this physical creation, over the earth. And the purpose that he has fulfilled since then is to test the hearts of men and women to see whether they would glorify God, whether they would live for his honor, praise, and glory, and so then become part of this spiritual creation which will go on for all eternity, where everybody within those heavenly places acknowledges, worships, glorifies, and lives for the praise of the King of Heaven. Now, of course, God had to undo the evil that Satan was able to sow into the hearts of people when they rebelled, Adam and Eve, and everyone that's inherited their fallen nature. Just giving the people in the Old Testament the law could not undo that work that Satan had done. And there was no way that just by telling God's people how to live, how God wanted them to live on earth, that they were able to do it because of the sin and the weakness of their humanity. So he sent his son, God sent his son to bring that heavenly life to earth. The life of the kingdom of heaven and or the kingdom of God, however you call it, he brought that life to earth and he lived it here within the physical creation. So this is why Jesus began his ministry by saying, the time has come, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So during the whole of the Old Testament period, God had given the law, but had demonstrated to mankind that there was no way that by their own efforts they could live this heavenly life here on earth. It could only happen as the gift of God, as the enabling of God. So Jesus came with this spiritual life, this life of the spiritual kingdom. And he was preaching what we call the gospel, the good news about this kingdom, saying that it was possible for men and women in this created order here on earth, this physical creation, to actually become part of this spiritual creation by receiving the gift of the kingdom, by receiving the gift of eternal life. And of course, Jesus made clear, as we all know, that it's only by being born again that people could become part, that they could even see this kingdom. It was absolutely essential for them to receive not just a natural birth, but a spiritual birth to be able to be part of this spiritual creation. Are you all with me?
Yes.
So Jesus came and preached the gospel. He showed that people would need to repent. They'd need to turn away from a life of selfishness, of living for themselves, and to embrace a life of living for the glory of God, living for his reign in their lives, living for his rule in their lives here on earth. So what God's purpose was for Jesus was to establish the life of his kingdom here on earth And of course, he taught us to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, where that kingdom is expressed, the will of God is done. The will of God is done perfectly in those heavenly realms. Jesus came as one from those heavenly realms and lived that life perfectly here on earth. He is the only one who has successfully done that in a perfect way. And then, of course, he offered his life as a sacrifice for us so that we could be forgiven of all our sins and all the ways in which we failed to live that spiritual life in the way that God intends, but also to make it possible for us to receive the gift of the kingdom. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not over here or over there, but the kingdom of God is within you. And to enable people to receive the power, the life, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit is part of this spiritual creation. God the Father, God the Son, ruling and reigning in the heavenlies as they are now. But the Holy Spirit is sent into this physical creation within the hearts and the lives of all those who already belong to this spiritual order. Now, Jesus spoke very little about the church, but he spoke all the time about the kingdom. All he said about the church is, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What he intended, what God intended, was not institutional church as we often see the church to be today. What the church was always intended to be, and we see this in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, and in the teaching of Paul that was, of course, the teaching of that was going on in the early church, that what God intended was for his church to be a body of people called the body of Christ, a body of people who were living the life of God's kingdom here on earth, just as Jesus did. They became part of this kingdom through the new spiritual birth, in order that they might then live the life of the kingdom here on earth, to be a kingdom people. So they would adopt what we could call the lifestyle of the kingdom of heaven. Not living any longer as the world lives, by the standards of this world, by even the practices of this world, but living the life of the kingdom of God within this world. Now, Jesus accomplished that, and the life of God's own Spirit was imparted to every believer at their new birth so that they could live this kingdom life, this kingdom lifestyle here on earth. Now, of course, the scriptures are pretty clear about this, that living that kingdom lifestyle here on earth is but a preparation for being part of that kingdom life for all eternity. That we serve the Lord and the purposes of his kingdom here on earth by adopting that kingdom lifestyle. So that God can be glorified in our lives now, but so that he can also use us to spread the light of this kingdom in the spiritual darkness of the world. In other words, God's people are to be like a prophetic people, a people that set forth the nature of this kingdom, which reflects the nature of God himself in their earthly lives. Now, why reformation is needed, what this book is all about, is really because of the failure of the church to live that kingdom life in the way that God intends. Now, that's a generalization, because, of course, some churches reveal that life very much more than other churches, some believers very much more than other believers. But God's purpose for every church and every congregation is to be a group of kingdom people living kingdom life, adopting the kingdom lifestyle where Jesus Christ rules and reigns in their lives and where God the Father is glorified, a people that are living that life now in preparation for living it in even more fully and perfect way as they will in the glory of the heavenlies for all eternity. So that's God's purpose for every single believer, every person who calls himself or herself a Christian. This is God's purpose, to live that kingdom lifestyle. Now, you don't need me to stand here and tell you that probably there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians that have no idea that that is God's purpose. And certainly, even many of them who may know something of that have not necessarily devoted and dedicated their lives to God to live that kingdom purpose out in their lives. And there are many churches that are much more concerned about their church life and their church activities than they are concerned about being the kingdom people that God has called them to be. So we have seen things get worse and worse. In the early years of my ministry, saw this amazing move of the Spirit of God, which had great impact upon the church worldwide, a real move of the Holy Spirit. But that move really sort of ran out of steam some years ago, and there are many churches that are still living in the good of what God did in those years. But at the same time, in the last 20 years or so, more and more worldliness has come into the church. I'm talking generally now about the church worldwide. And there is much more compromise. There's so much superficiality and things going on in the life of the churches that have nothing to do with this spiritual realm. This kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, have nothing to do with the purpose of God for his people. In fact, many of the things that are being allowed in some churches are quite alien and even opposed to the purposes of God. Now, God has a habit of, as we read through the scriptures in Old Testament and New Testament, he is obviously aware of all these things, and he has a habit of allowing things to go on and get worse and worse and worse until a certain point. It's really like... I see whenever I go for a walk now, there are more dogs than humans around, and people have these. It's true. I mean, people have these dogs on these long leads, you know, as extend, and you can let the dog, so it appears, go to a certain point, but then you stop, and then you can wind the dog in. Well. But I think God sort of lets us out on a long leash, and then he stops and he says, that's enough. That's enough. And I believe that's what he's saying now. He's saying, things have gone so far, and that's enough. Now I'm calling my people back to my purposes. Now I'm calling them back to become the kingdom people that I intend them to be. I'm calling them back to living the kingdom lifestyle, the lifestyle of this spiritual kingdom here on earth. And this basically is what the Lord's Orchard is all about. It's divided into short chapters. And as you read it, I mean, it won't hurt to sort of read through it if you want to, but then you'll have to go back to the beginning and work through it. You'll need to work through it section by section, chapter by chapter, because there's over 40 sections, and each one speaks of one aspect of this kingdom lifestyle, of the lifestyle of the kingdom that God expects of every believer. Now, I want you to understand, this is not an option. This is the lifestyle that God intends for absolutely every Christian on the face of the earth. And that's why it's been such an awesome responsibility to sort of put this down in writing. I don't think I've ever prayed about anything as much as has gone into this. Of course, it is a reflection of the teaching of Scripture. But you'll find that the way it's presented is in very simple, clear teaching about what it really means to live the lifestyle of the kingdom. For example, I'll just read you a few of the chapter headings. A people living in God's mercy, a merciful people, a people living in the good of their salvation, people living in God's grace, a people living in the purposes of God, a people living by the truth, a people who live in Christ, a people of the Holy Spirit, a people possessing the life of God's kingdom, a people of faith, a people of love, people with hearts after God's own heart, a holy people, people of humility, people of light, people who live as disciples of Jesus, and so on. Many, many, many more. And all those aspects of the life of the kingdom, and therefore the life of the Holy Spirit, God is looking to see in our lives. Now, this is so that his will and purpose can be fulfilled here on earth, that his will and purpose can be fulfilled in your life. It doesn't matter what the nature of your calling, God wants you to be expressing the life of the kingdom in your life. So this is a book for you. As I say, it's not really an option. It's something that is absolutely essential. If it was physically possible for me to do so, I'd like to put this book in the hands of every Christian on the face of the earth. You know, it will need to be translated into several languages and all the rest of it, because it is really a word from God for every believer. And I believe that through the witness of those who take seriously what God is saying and put his word into practice in the power of the Spirit, they will have a great impact upon those that at present do not belong to the kingdom. And this is part of the failure of the church. It doesn't make sufficient impact on the darkness. And we are to be the light of the world. We are to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. So God wants that light to shine in the lives of his people. And God's spoken to us a lot about that in Kingdom Faith in recent months. So this is a wonderful opportunity. Of course, this book is literally going to go out to the four corners of the earth. And it comes out of our life here. And one of the reasons why so much prayer and has had to go into this is I could not write any of this without living it myself or seeking to live it. And I had to be sure that each aspect of this was a real part of what is going on in my life, because you can't preach to others if you're not doing it yourself, can you? Well, you can, but there's no integrity in that. So it isn't that I would claim to live this life perfectly, because I believe only Jesus Christ has ever done that, but at least it's my heart to live every aspect of this kingdom life and so seek to glorify my Lord and Savior, my King, in the process. And of course, before I even started this process, God said, I've got to give you my love for the whole church. And he made it so clear that nothing in this book must ever be said in judgment. Even though, you know, the Lord was saying to me, even though you can see so much that is wrong, even though you can see so much that is lacking, I still do not judge my church. I am still ready to be merciful to my people. So you must always speak in love, always speak of my mercy, always speak of my willingness to enable my people to be what I want them to be, and not to be critical of them for not being that. So in every way, it's an attempt to be positive and affirming of God's people, not only saying, well, this is what God intends, this is what he wants, but to write in such a way that people see how they are enabled to do that, And I can assure you that you have already received from God the anointing that you need in your life, so that every aspect of this book, every aspect of the kingdom that is expressed and explained in this book is possible in your life today. Every single part of it. All that is required, of course, is your response to the Lord, to His Word, to the leading of His Spirit in your life. Each section is completed by asking a key question of the readers. And those questions are then summarized at the end of the book. I don't know whether I dare read them now without you reading the book. But, for example, I've just read some of the chapter headings in the early part of the book. So the key questions are, do you trust daily in God's mercy? Are you a merciful person? Are you living in the good of your salvation, wanting to please the Lord? Do you depend daily on God's grace to enable you to do His will? Do you truly want God's purpose for your life and for the church to which you belong? Do you live by the revelation of the truth of God's word, trusting in the Spirit of truth to enable the truth to be expressed in your life? As one who has been placed in Christ, are you continuing to live in Him and in His love through obedience to His commands? And so on. But of course, those questions come at the end of a section which says not only this is God's purpose, but how that can be implemented in your life. So, this is a prolonged advert for you to buy the book. There are copies available. We're selling it at £3 off the cover price. We're only selling it for £6.99. So, grab your copy and begin to use it. This, as I said, is not just a book to read or a book to buy because I'm telling you to buy it and then to leave it on your shelf. But as the people of God in this place, we need to be putting all this into operation ourselves. Now, what is going to happen as a result? Two things. We are going to express together, corporately, much more of the life of God's kingdom. And what this book explains is that it's only possible to do that in a social context. You can't do it independently on your own. You can only do it in relation to others. So not only will you personally be expressing more of the life, of the love, of the power, of the authority, and the freedom of God's kingdom, and all the blessings that go with that. Because remember, Paul said, God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in heavenly places. So all the blessings of that spiritual creation are already yours in Christ. So His purpose is to prosper you, is to bless you. Out of His love for you, He seeks your highest good. And we've heard much about that in recent weeks, that He wants your highest good, and He knows your highest good is to be found by living out the life of His heavenly kingdom here on earth, as far as that is possible for you or for any of His children. So, of course, you need to devote yourself to that. You can't do it superficially. You can't do it half-heartedly. But God will be glorified. You will be blessed. But so will many other people be impacted because of the light that will then shine with increasing intensity out of your life personally and out of the life of Kingdom Faith corporately. But there is another very good reason for living this kingdom lifestyle here on earth. As you do that, it will have eternal repercussions. Because, you see, what we learn of this spiritual kingdom, of this spiritual creation, is that not everybody is the same. Jesus speaks of the greatest in the kingdom and the least in the kingdom. But we are defining by our willingness to live the life of the kingdom here on earth, we are defining where we will be in this spiritual order for all eternity. Now, Jesus makes this very clear time and time again, even right at the end in the last chapter of the Bible. He is still affirming what he was saying during during his earthly ministry. When he says, "Behold, I'm coming soon, my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Now, the reason why we live the lifestyle of the kingdom of God here on earth is so that we bear much fruit for the glory of God, fruit that lasts, fruit that has an eternal dimension. And on the day of judgment, if you like, your entrance into this spiritual realm is God's gift to you. That is what salvation is. He has given you this gift of salvation. You will be part of this heavenly kingdom. But your place within that kingdom, according to Jesus, is the reward for what you have done. So the way in which you have, or the measure to which you have devoted yourself to God and to the life and purpose of his kingdom here on earth will determine your reward in this spiritual realm for all eternity. Now, if this isn't a stupid thing to say, eternity is a long time. I mean, eternity is beyond time. So to think that you are forming your eternal destiny by how far you either submit yourself to God's sovereign rule and reign here on earth, or instead deny the purpose of God and live your own lifestyle, even though you want God to bless you, how far you are really submitted to his rule and reign is dependent upon you. This is your response to the revelation of God's truth, of God's word. Now, I haven't actually, since I finished writing the book some weeks ago, I haven't read any of it because, you know, you live on top of a thing like this for months and months and months. But I just opened it just anywhere, casually, this morning. And I happened to open it at the section on a people of humility. I thought I'd just read some of this to you, just to give you a little flavor. When God looks upon the branches of the trees in his orchard, that is on us as believers, he wants to see them living as servants who remain humble before him and others. Jesus described his heart as being humble and gentle, even though he demonstrated such authority and power. A holy heart will be a humble heart, submitted to the will of God. No one comes to salvation until he has humbled himself before God by repenting of his sins and surrendering his life to Jesus to become his Lord and Savior. To live a holy life, God's children will need to remain humble before him and not allow the pride of their flesh to rise up in rebellion against his will. To say that Jesus is your Lord is to say that he is the supreme authority to which you have willingly submitted yourself. You allow him to be Lord in the daily circumstances of your life only by remaining yielded to his authority. In practice, this means that you will do whatever he asks you to do. To withstand his purpose is to deny his lordship in your life at that point. Clearly, that is not a clever thing to do, but is possible because he will not impose his will upon you. So Jesus wants all the branches in his orchard to have humble hearts submitted to him out of love for him. He gives grace to the humble, and so will enable them to fulfill what he has asked of them by that grace. A humble, thankful heart is a loving and obedient heart. Servanthood is the evidence of having a humble heart. Jesus said that he had not come to be served, but to serve. He is the greatest servant that has ever walked on the face of the earth. Because he never changes, he still serves, but now from heaven in the power of an eternal, indestructible life, which is a quote from Hebrews. Once a servant, always a servant. Paul realized this truth. He opened several of his letters by describing himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Although without doubt one of the greatest of God's apostles, he never lost sight of the fact that first and foremost, he was a servant. He knew what it meant to be a son of God and taught others the importance of this truth. Yet he recognized that he was a son who serves, and that this is God's purpose for all his children, every branch in the orchard. No matter how great his calling as an apostle or his status as a son of God, he would always remain a servant of God's people, just like Jesus. No matter what your calling and status as a child of God, you are and will always remain a servant of God and his people. You serve the Lord by serving his people in whatever capacity he calls you. What you do to the least of his brethren, you do to him. You are called to love others in the same way he has loved you, to persevere in serving and giving to others in the face of whatever opposition comes against you, and so on. So that just gives you a little flavor. When I read it this morning, I thought, that's brilliant. I thought, who on earth wrote that? But you know, that is the grace of God. When you're doing this stuff, you're just so concerned to get it right, to just say precisely what God wants you to say, not to diminish what he's saying, not to exaggerate what he's saying, but to be faithful to what he's saying. That it's difficult to sort of stand back, and it's only when you read it afterwards that you say, wow, thank you, Jesus. That's your grace. So, beloved, you go from here to the info point, and you get equipped with the Lord's orchard, and by his grace, you will, as a result of the way in which you respond, you have to respond, of course, as the way in which you respond to the teaching in this book, you will see the spiritual order of God in your life in an increased way, in a very increased way. The kingdom of God, his spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven being expressed in your heart and life in a way that perhaps you never thought possible. Others will be blessed. The whole church is going to prosper in the purposes of God. And what a wonderful eternal reward you will have by the grace of God. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the grace that has attended the production of this book and those that have helped me in doing that. But Lord, I pray now that this book will get into the hands of everybody for whom you intend it. That all the trees, I believe that you would love this to be in the hands of every leader in every church in this land and every believer in every church in this land, that you would be glorified in every church in this land, that, Lord, your kingdom purposes will be revealed, your kingdom lifestyle will be experienced and revealed in the lives of your people. But, Father, we know that for us, this has to start here. It has to start with us. And we thank you for all that you have been doing in our lives already, so that already many of the things in this book are being expressed in our lives, or at least have begun to be expressed in our lives. And I thank you for all the reforming work of your Holy Spirit that is going to take place in our individual lives and in the life of Kingdom Faith corporately during these coming months. Thank you, Lord, that say within 6 months or so, by the time we've been able to work through this book, we will be in a totally different place spiritually. And you will be able to move through this church in a way that is beyond anything that we can even imagine at this moment. We thank you, Lord, that you are saying to your church worldwide, enough is enough. It is time for you to rise up, for your light to shine, and for the glory of God to be revealed to the world through your lives. And so I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that you have already given us. Thank you that you place your kingdom within us. Thank you that you have given us the gift of your Spirit. Thank you that we are equipped already to be able to fulfill everything that you ask of us. And we give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's give him a great big thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Now, don't only get a book, a copy for yourself, but spread this around, you know. I mean, if you want to buy copies for other believers in other churches and other places, churches of any and every denomination, then, you know, feel free to do so. Nobody's going to stop you. But at least make it known. Already it's been up on the internet just for a few days, and hundreds of copies have been sent out from Rafi during this last few days. So, you know, that God is going to promote this. We don't have to. God will do that. But be a channel of his grace to other believers in his name. Amen? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.